Okay, we started learning this maimer from the Chalban, from Chaim Cohen, the Tzaddik of Chaim Cohen last week. It's sort of a bit of an intercession between the first Chayt of Mrs. Sharm with the Vavavi and Mirsham. We're going to continue with that. But the subject is so important, and there's so many questions and complications and so much confusion with this Indian of Bitochen and Hishtadlus. So I thought it'd be very good to learn this Maimer. It's relatively short. It'll take us a couple of weeks, Mitzvah Hashem. So let me just review the three questions that we're up to. The fourth question, that's on page 4. On the left side, we're up to She'ela Revias, the fourth question. This is all leading into Hanukkah. Of course, we're going to be finishing it after Hanukkah. But the first question regarding what happened with Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu, even though Kadosh Baruch Hu made promises to Yaakov Avinu that everything's going to be okay, Ushmatichem b'chol asher teilech, I'm going to take care of you and watch over you, everything's going to be fine. Yaakov Avinu, as you know, Chazal say, Rashi brings down, was worried, Shema Yigrim Achet, that I believe and I trust in everything that you're telling me, Rabbi Shalom, but I don't trust myself. So how do I know that I'm going to continue to be worthy? I may not be worthy. So it seems that this fear that Yaakov Avinu had of Shema Yigrim Achet, this fear that somehow, for whatever reason, he would no longer be worthy of all of the haftachas, of all of Hashem's promises, seems to be, at least according to what Rashi brings down in Chazal, in this place, seems to be not only justified, but we found, and we learned last week, that there was a certain chassidus, there's a certain righteousness in a person having such yerushamayim that he doesn't feel worthy. Despite all the promises that were made, he doesn't feel worthy. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Maybe in the meantime something is not the way that it should be, or in the future. So the first question regarding this was, Avraham Avinu was punished because he asked, Bama Eda Kirishana. Avraham Avinu was punished that he asked, how do I know? What do you mean, how do I know? I told you it's going to be your grandchildren. What's Bama Eda? So why don't we just say that Avraham Avinu was afraid? Shema Yigrim Achet. I don't know. I'm going to continue to be worthy. I don't know that my children and grandchildren are going to be worthy of Eretz Yisrael. They might not be worthy of the promise. So why wasn't that a good answer for Avraham Avinu? It worked for Yaakov Avinu. Why doesn't it work for Avraham Avinu? Why was he punished when he asked Bamei? That was the first question. The second question is, one of the very big yesaidis in all the halachas of Nevuah, is that when Hashem promises something that's good, he doesn't back out. When he makes a haftachah l'tayva, when is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Navi says there's going to be punishment or suffering? So that of course can change. There's tshuva that could change. But when Hashem makes a good promise, a haftachah, something that's good, so that was the way that the Navim were being tested, right? The Navi would say something, we learned this last week, something good that was coming up and it didn't come up, that means he's a Navi Sheker. So over here, why was Yaakov Avinu afraid? Hashem promised him, I'm going to give you food, I'll take care of you, everything's going to be good. Good. Everything is good. So if everything is good, then why is he still worried that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm not worthy and if something happens, Shem Yigam Achet, that Hashem is going to retract, he's going to back out. What do you mean? So Haftacha, Hashem promised a good thing. That was the second question. The third question is that we do find certain places in Chazal where Yaakov Avinu is criticized for this concern that he had regarding the fulfillment of the promises that Hashem made, and maybe he's not worthy. We do find the Chazal critical of him in different places. So we're up to the fourth question, and these questions are going to force us to reevaluate the whole formula of trust and hishtadlus, bitachon and hishtadlus, which is one of the biggest issues in our lives. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of us? How much are we supposed to invest in this world? And how much are we supposed to rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of things? She'ela Revias, on page 4 on the left-hand side.
Im kein Vinu es midos shel Yaakov Avinu. Hinei lu'umosai royim anu yachas acha bechazal lemaisav shel Yosef.
Now we're going to go to the parasha that we're now living in, to the parasha of Yosef HaTzadik. Now you know that I mentioned last week that, and you all know that there are, Elul told us Yaakov Yosef that there are many correlations between the father and the son. There are many, many things that took place in the life of the father, and that in a very, very remarkable way, with very subtle variations, would be repeated in the life of the son. But here's an important difference. At the end of the parasha, Yosef HaTzadik makes a hishtadlus, which seemed to be reasonable. He made a hishtadlus, and he asked the Sar HaMashkim to please mention my name to Paro. You could have me in mind and say something to Paro, put in a good word, to take me out from this place, put in a good word. On a rain be medrash, shechacham mevakim as Yosef al shomel asar mashkim ki im zechatani. And we find the Chazal are very critical of Yosef making that hishtadlus, that effort on his own behalf to get out of the jail, because he said ki im zechatani. He made an extra hishtadlus. Remember me, or remember me to Paro. Should be kesha yaske or yisoy etzal Paro v'yotzioy mehabor. But he asked to be remembered by Paro and to be taken out from the bor. Omer bnei shapanala ezras bnei adam, because he turned to human beings for help. Bnei shapanala ezras bnei adam, nena, she was punished. V'nisha oichna sayim, the base of some. He ended up spending another 2 years in jail because of that little hostilis that he made. And that's what it says in the Medrash. Remember me. You're asking the Sar Mashkim for help? You see, you're going to spend another 2 years in jail. And they also said, proper page 5. It says in Tillim, fortunate is the person who places his entire trust in Hashem. Ze Yosef. Yosef is a Baal Bitochen. V'loi pone el rahavim. Fortunate is the person who trusts entirely in Hashem. He doesn't turn to the rahavim. Rahavim means people who are Baal Gaiva, like the proud. He doesn't turn to the big shots for help. Because he asked twice, Zechartani v'hizkartani, 2 years were added to the jail sentence. So what's Ashri Hageva? Shasom Hashem Iftach, Zeh Yosef. The Medrash is hard to understand. First, Yosef is being described as a big Baal Bitochen, as trusting in Hashem. And then we're told that he was lacking in trust, and he was sent to jail. He remained in jail an extra 2 years. It's mefurish in Chazal that Yosef was punished for making this hishtadlus with the Sar HaMashkim, trying to save himself. He should have trusted entirely in Hashem, and he shouldn't have asked the Sar HaMashkim for help. The problem, of course, is in last week's parashan Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu prepared for his meeting with Esav with Doirein, with Tefillah, and Milchama. He made three different types of hishtadlus. One of them was religious in nature, which is tefillah. But the other two was that he sent a gift and milchama, he prepared for war. And not only that, umama shechniya atzma lifnei Esav, like we spoke about last week, he was machni himself. He goes bending down, bowing down to Esav 7 times.
That's a lot of hishtadlus. And we don't find that Yaakov was punished for this, what appears to be this excessive hishtadlus. He wanted to cover all bases. And not only that, then he divided the camp, right? It seems that he was not relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or just on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was following a strategy that consisted of a number of parts, and yet we don't find that he's punished. Kedei lehi notzel me'esav. All of this hishtadlus that he made was to be, that he should be able to be saved from Esav, that he should be able to be okay. Luma zayis Yosef rak amar mishpat echad shel hishtadlus. All Yosef HaTzadik said was, that he should be remembered. Ukvar nena shel chayseh bitachon, and he was punished another 2 years. For why? Because he was missing, he was lacking in trust. Asher gave Hashem Hashem b'vtachon. As your big bal b'tachon, a person like you should not have turned to the Rehovim, to the Sarmashkim, to Paro. Your big bal b'tachon. What kind of a business is that for you to make your style? Say what? He was bigger than his father in b'tachon. Why was it that his father could get away with it? His father was able to get away with a lot of his stadlus. Yes, the tzaddik says a word. It's a chatani. He's already in trouble 2 years extra. Yaakov put in a lot more hishtadlus. Umadu Yosef nanash. Why is Yosef a tzaddik punished and Yaakov nothing happened? The emphasis is a very deep sugya. Umistaefes leinyonim rabim upnimim. And it spreads out to a number of very, very big and important inyonim. Everything that happened with our avos and the imos, everything is very, very deep. We need to understand, as we learned last week, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing all of this in the Torah, it's because he's teaching us, he's telling us about ourselves. And each one of the avos was Pearl, he behaved, each one of the obvious, the most Ashwatan behaved in a way that's Hamyuchedislo, that was his own way, his unique own way. Mikan Nigzu have Dalim Rabban ben Avram, Yaakov ben Yaakov Yosef, and therefore what worked for Avram didn't necessarily work for Yaakov Avinu. Or what didn't work for Avram. When he asked Bameida, for Yaakov Avinu it was okay to make the Ishtadlis. And what worked for Yaakov Avinu didn't work for Yosef HaTzadik. Because Yosef HaTzadik makes a little bit of a shtadlus and he gets right away in trouble. So there's a difference between each of these tzaddikim, and only when we understand in this nekuda of bitochen what the difference is, we'll be able to answer all these questions. Then he just summarizes the questions, the four questions, which I did already before. So let's go right there. So let's now focus on Yaakov Avinu. Madu hisyari Yaakov. Why was Yaakov Avinu afraid? Klape Shaila Man hisyari Yaakov Avinu Olav Shalom. Why was Yaakov Avinu so afraid? Hina mitzinu kama shitas binyan. There are a number of shitas. Rashi's Nitzayin is Divrei Abarbanel. Humalamid Yisoid Choshuv Ba'avodas Hamidus. The Abarbanel teaches us here a very, very big Yisoid in Avodas Hamidus. Ula'or Zois Mazbir's Ma'isav Shiyakov, and with this Yisoid, the Abarbanel explains Yaakov's behavior. Unavar as Devar B'lishayneinu. Let's learn what the Abarbanel was saying in our own lashon. It's a big yisayit. The Abarbanel says this: Kidei liknas mida taiva, in order to acquire a mida taiva, ha'adam tzarich lehisgaber al midas acheres ha'hafuches mimena. In order to truly acquire a certain mida, the person has to be able to overcome, to fight against the opposite midah. About the midah, he has to overcome the midah hafucha. Ulis atzam babakoyach. And he has to take it on. That opposite midah, he has to struggle with it. And only through that can he be misatzem, can he become strong and consistent in the midah taiva that he's trying to acquire. What does that mean? So he says like this. Nikach na ledugma es oimetz aleiv. So as an example, we'll use the midah of oimetz aleiv, of courage. Oimetz aleiv. Hini adam shleich bas loy chalil lomus. A person who doesn't care about life. Meaning a person who doesn't care if he dies. He doesn't care, he doesn't think much of life, and he doesn't care if he dies. There are plenty of people like that. He doesn't care if he dies. Because he's in a terrible, terrible psychological state. He's lost his taste of life. He doesn't care about life anymore. He doesn't want to live. That doesn't mean he's going to commit suicide. But he really doesn't feel that he has anything to live for. If this person is walking, let's say, on the edge of a mountain, by a cliff, we don't describe him as being courageous. That's not courage. The emes is he doesn't care about life. Those are the best soldiers to get. In a certain way, those are the best soldiers, the ones who don't have anything to live for. Once you start with the married guys, especially with kids, so they tend to be less courageous in combat. Not because they don't want to help. They have too much to live for. The guy wants to go home. He's walking around, he's gotten his wallet in his pocket, he's got a picture of his wife and kids, whatever it is. He doesn't want to get a bullet in his head. He wants to make it home. So as a result of that, he doesn't have the oimetz lev with all of his good intentions. He doesn't have the courage of a person who he would say has nothing to live for. So the Baba makes the following point. You would think that this guy is a courageous guy. He's walking around on the edge of the mountain like he doesn't have a care in the world, on the cliff. Or he's climbing up, he's jumping out of a plane, he doesn't have a care in the world. That's not called courage. That's not called oimetz aleiv. The guy with the kids can be much more courageous by nature. That's not called oimetz aleiv. Why? Shekeinu einu tzorach l'gai is klalas oimetz aleiv. He doesn't have to gather up. He doesn't have to gather up within himself a feeling of courage. L'lech zal svas atahim, to walk by, let's say, the edge. He doesn't care if he falls in. He doesn't really care. Who ibed is atam b'chayiv. He's lost his desire to live. Life doesn't have a good taste anymore by him. He doesn't care what happens to him. So he wants to jump off a plane, I'll jump off a plane. So if he can help a couple of people by fighting against the enemy. He's not terrified that he's going to get killed, because the emes is that would put him out of his misery. So if in the meantime he could help some nice people by jumping out of a plane or jumping off of a bridge or by going into the battlefield, why not? But that's not courage. So mimela ha'halicha al svas tohaim enena martia, so therefore he's not frightened. He's not trembling when he walks on the edge, on the cliff. Not because he's a gibor. Not because he's a strong, courageous person. Not because of that. It's just the opposite. It's because of his weakness. He's a very weak person. He doesn't have the courage to go on with life. Because for this person, that would be a courageous fight. To move ahead with his life. But he doesn't want to. So he's not a courageous person. He's a misyayish.
He's just given up. Courage in this person's situation would mean to be mechazik himself to want to live. And if he wanted desperately to live, he'd be more afraid of walking around on the cliff. Mikan anu lemeidim, shekadei she'odam yechoshev amitz v'gibor. From here we learn that in order that a person should be really considered to be courageous and to be a gibor, hutzarach lasas maisem shebetiva ma'orim b'pachad. It means to do something that you're afraid of, you're naturally afraid of, and you overcome the fear. You're mechazik yourself with courage and with strength, and you misgabra on the pchodim. You overcome the fear that you have. This guy that wants to die, doesn't care about dying, he's not overcoming any fear. This feeling is, oh my God, I'll go, so I won't live. It's not courage. Courage is when you're terrified. The meat of courage is you're terrified, and you overcome the terror and the fear. You are ma'orah within yourself a meat that's called emetz halev, courage. And with that meat of emetz halev, you fight against the opposite or the natural tendency that you have, which is to be frightened by the situation that you're in. Then you're using the midah, and you're being kind of the midah of emet salev, of courage. V'yizgar b'al p'chadav v'yas o'isam b'gevura. For this person to jump out of the plane, it required tremendous gevura. For him to go onto the battlefield, it was tremendous gevura. The midah of gevura, the midah of emet salev, he had to use that midah and be mechazik that midah. But yet some idiot that doesn't care about dying, doesn't care about life, and if he's not an idiot, some Rahmanis, doesn't care about life, so he walks through the minefield whistling. That's not called Aymet's alive. It's called either he's an idiot or he's not giving up on life. Aymet's alive. Aymet's alive is when you're afraid and you overcome that fear with Aymet's alive. And you move ahead and you do what you need, what needs to get done, with gevur, with strength, with courage. Dugman Sevzaka, another example. Yesh tchunim kukelas. Some people have this tchuna, this characteristic. It's not good, it's terrible. So zilzul ha'adam chafatzim imamim. They don't care about things, they don't care about money. They don't care. It was the mezalzel and things. Objects, things, money, they throw out money on whatever, on Irishkeit. Things get broken, they break things, they don't care. Ein hu roya klal erech b'mamon. So we look at this person and we think he's a very, very idealistic person. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't see any value. That doesn't mean anything. He cares about whatever. He cares about the value of life, and the meaning of life, and philosophy and poetry. But the way that he dresses is dirty. And the way things in his house are broken and filthy. So you might look at him and say, it's a gewaldige madrega. He has much bigger things on his head. Humavazves bepazronus. He spends money, doesn't mean anything. Leichbes loy laavedes chafatze vekelov. If he loses things, doesn't bother him. Yitak zilzel vechayso achrayis. He doesn't feel a sense of responsibility. It's mezalzel. Odom kezeh. This person, this kind of a person. Im yifazer mamond lachem l'tzdaka. So you see, this person gives away things to tzedakah. He's about tzedakah. He gives away money to tzedakah. On number vaday also mitzvah gedolah. Of course, he gets points. It's a mitzvah. You give money to tzedakah. It's a mitzvah. Wulam loy behechrach yikarin adiv leiv. But does that mean that we could say that he has the midah? He's acquired the midah of nedivus halev, of a generous heart. Does that mean he's a generous person? No. It doesn't mean that he has a midah of nedivus alev. It means he doesn't care about money. That's a bad midah. Tzadikim mamonim chaviv aleihem. A tzadik cares about things. You work hard for something, you're supposed to care about it. Now, when a person by nature is holding on to his things and to his money, and somebody comes to him for tzedakah, and he overcomes his natural inclination to stinginess, let's say his natural inclination to hold, to be mitzamtzim, to hold back, and he uses the midah of nedivus halev, and he overcomes the selfishness, and he gives tzedakah, that's a nediv life. The guy that doesn't care about money, when he gives tzedakah, it's not because of a midah of nedivus lev. It's because there's something wrong. His sense of chashivas, of being machshev what he owns, of being machshev money and being machshev things, is that sense is completely warped. So who baz bezon v'chosach rais? It's not because he's a nediv leiv, he's a generous-hearted person. He doesn't care about it. He's not overcoming anything. He's not using the midah of nedivus haleiv to overcome. Istami doesn't care. He doesn't care how his own money is being spent on in his own life. He doesn't care about things in the right way. They're lacking in chashivas. So he doesn't feel a sense of achrayis for his things, for other people's things. So the fact that he parts very easily with money, it's not divus alev. Shehine ma'isav mechicha. We see from this guy's actions, from how he lives, that even if this guy drops a dollar bill from his pocket, or a $10 bill, whatever it is, he won't even bother to bend down and pick it up. He wouldn't even bother to pick it up. Which means that he takes care of his money with a lack of achrayis, and he's mevazves. He wastes money. You tell him that there are two stores, and the store is 30 feet away, and over here you can get it for $5 less. He says, that's enough. He doesn't care, and it doesn't mean that he's necessarily such a big veer. He says, it's not worth it for me to walk. The regular guy says, what do you mean? It's 30 seconds. It's $5 less than the other store. I had this discussion with somebody from the neighborhood. There was a certain fruit store in Far Rockaway that they charge not twice. It's like three, four times for fruit. It has a little bit, maybe has less of a spot, or the oranges a little bit. And this person goes shopping there. So why do you go to such a place? They're charging it. He says, it's not worth it for me. Then he'll say, it's nice to have nice chayra, but the whole teva of that person is that he's mevazvis. He's mezazel. The whole sense of achrayis in such a person, we're not talking about being cheap, but the sense of achrayis is off. The sense of achrayis is off. Sometimes you have a person who's just a big veer, but this guy is not talking about a big veer. The achrayis, a sense of responsibility. So, for this person, it's not hard to part with the money, and he appears to be generous, and he is generous with others, and he's rewarded for helping other people. Of course, he's doing mitzvahs. But if his loymet neishu nedib, it's not because he's generous. He's tam a nudnik, not generous. Hanediv ha'amiti, who's the truly generous person? Who's the person who has this midah of nediv lev, nedivus?
It's not the guy that doesn't care. Who Adam she yesh lo hayrach lekesef. He values money. He appreciates money. Who omel viageya bechayev, and he worked very hard his whole life. Laharviach his kasva biyesha, to earn his money in an honest way. And despite the fact that he worked very hard for his money, and it's not so poshut for him to part with the money, he worked hard for it. Humizgaber ala havas hamomen, he's mizgaber. He overcomes this feeling of ahavas mamon, of connection to the money. Mechalik biyad rechovel in his kokim, and he gives out in a generous way to people. That's a person who's in a deep life. That's Nadiva Salev. Ze Adam Nadiv. That's a Nadiv. Shkin Nadiva Salev, who's Ze, he's Zush, I met this be a site, Hatzadokas, Hatzidka Shoyse. Vi Hu Eitzel Abazbazon, Lang Nadiva Salev, I met this be a site, Hatzadoka, Elokeus Achushim, and Agela Kesef. The guy that spends a lot of money and doesn't care about money, the yisoid of his tzedakah is a midah ra, not a midah taiva. The yisoid of that guy is giving tzedakah, of course a nice guy, but the yisoid of his tzedakah is a bad midah, that he is a mazalzal and he's a mevazves and he doesn't value things in a proper way. That's the yisoid of his tzedakah. The other person who is careful with money, the yisoid of his tzedakah is nedivus alev. It's the midah that he had to work to overcome something which might be a little bit of a natural stinginess. Stinginess is a strong word, but a reserved way of spending. He overcomes that, and benedivus lev, he gives the money to tzedakah. There's a famous mice like that that they say about the Apterov, that the Apterov, they say that he didn't know the tzuras, but he didn't have anything with money. He didn't want to have a shaykhus or anything with money. And it was Erev Purim, and his son came. They say the similar things from the sons of the Vichayim. And the son came, whoever it was there, saw that the Apterov had some money that people left on his table from pigeon, from kritlich, whatever. And the Apterov is taking some gold coins in his hand, and he's like looking at them and holding them and shining them. And they didn't understand, like, with the Apterov with money. So they asked him, if there was an Apterov, said, it's Erev Purim. And in Purim, there's such a big mitzvah of Matanas Levyayinim. The Emma says, I don't feel any connection to money. So I want to be Mekam de Mitzvah, Benedivu slave. So I'm trying a little bit to have a sort of a shaykhus to these coins, to feel some sort of a shaykhus to these coins. So that it'll be a little bit of hishtadlis for me to part with them. Because otherwise, he said, for him, he doesn't care with the money, to part with the money. It didn't mean anything for him. So he wanted to be able to be Mekam de Mitzvah, Tzedakah, Benedivu slave. In order to be able to makad the mitzvah of Nadivus Alev, it means overcoming. It means acquiring a midah of Nadivus Alev. The midah of Nadivus Alev means that you have to overcome the hepech of Nadivus Alev. Well, God made you with a certain quality. That's not a kinyan. You weren't kind of midah. If God made a person, he's naturally, with money, doesn't care about money. That's not, he wasn't kind of any midah. It's not midah. That's how he was made like that. And for a kid, it could be that he has to work on that, that he has to be more careful with how he spends. And over the years with my wife, how many times these kind of conversations, she grew up in a home, and her whole, the way that the chinuch that she had, she was always, they were very, very careful with everything, with the money. And my thing is like this, is that, okay, so the same way I was describing before, some experience of it. So of course, let's see, it's safe, and it's in this swarm store, let's say, it's $4 more, you go to another swarm store, and I'll be there, somebody will say, it's the same safe I saw in the other place for $5 to $6. So I'll always say, $5 to $6, I'm going to have to go look at another swarm store, okay, over here. And my wife kind of understands, what's the matter with you? What is that?
What is that? No one says you have to go to Miami to get the sefer. You have to wait like 15 minutes, go to another store and get the sefer. What are you going to spend another $4? So I like the sefer, I have to go to. They might not have it there, you know, these. And my sister's much, much worse than me. I don't know how that's, you know, maybe it's my mother, I'm over that. I don't know. But anyway, my sister with money, she's the person I was talking about with the food store. My sister, she should be well. I said, what are you going to that place? So here I was the. I said, where do you go there? I'm just getting off. This is the way that they charge. And my sister says, it's not worth it to me. They do a nice job. What does it mean they do? The Rebbe Yisrael made the food. What do they do a nice job? You know, they pack it up nice. And I said, okay. I don't get it. But I also do that just to the things that I like. So she wants to get the fruit and I like to get the sefer, but I do the same thing with the mamonis. It's not an Indian, and the kids know that when it comes to mamonis, it's better to go to anything with mamonis, they come to me. So that's Nadivu Saleh. So the Barbanel says, that's not called Nadivu Saleh. It's just, I'm a nudnik. You're a nudnik. It's a nudnik. What is it? You're not careful with money. Mele, if a person's a gvir and these things. But if you're not, you're trying to just get by. So what do you mean? You're trying to get by. So then, be more careful. Be more careful. So the kids came out half like me and half like my wife, like that. But it's not called Nadivus Alayv. Kach on the top of page 6. Kach on the Rome Shadam Shaomol Vihisamitz Kadei Likna Is Chefetz Mesuyim. When you have to work hard to get something, when you worked hard to get something, this is one of the problems of our generation, is that a lot of people are just not working so hard to get anything. Our parents and grandparents, they worked very, very hard to get anything. In this generation, Baruch Hashem, I mean, there are plenty of people who have difficulties, but in this generation, we didn't have to work as hard to get what we got. We were able to get from others, from our parents. But if a person, Adam Sha'amal Vis'amis, because they look nice, Chavitz Muslim, if you worked really, really hard to get something, Yishmal of Harbe Yaisa, obviously you're going to be more careful with it, you're going to guard it more, you'll be more careful. Mimishakiba Chavitz Zeb, Matneschim, as compared to a person who got it for nothing. You paid, you worked hard for that money. You worked hard and you wanted to buy it, so you're careful with it. A person who got something as a gift, easy come, they say, better go, easy go. Came easy, goes easy, you don't care. But if you worked hard for that, therefore for the person who worked very hard to get this object, for him to lend it to be a nice guy, to have the meet again of Nadiva Saleh, to be easy and to lend it to people, it'll be much harder for this guy. If you just got something as a gift, if you got it as a gift and somebody comes to buy, you say, sure. You didn't work for that. And if the thing gets broken, if you worked hard for something, and now this thing got ruined, it's going to be much harder for you to be makabel that din bi'ahava, with love, and not to become depressed or upset about it, as opposed to the person who just got it as a gift. The person who got it as a gift, comes and goes. It's broken? No. I didn't really have it to begin with. Mashenikin, if you worked hard for something, and you lose it, it hurts much more. The cloud that the Rabbi is telling us is clear. Hamayla shall call mida toiva. When we speak about the maila of a mida toiva, it's such a basic yisod. The maila of the hamayla shall call mida toiva nikeris. The maila of a mida toiva, of a person's connection to a mida toiva, his acquisition of a mida toiva is recognized. Davka kishehi mismoydedes imahevach men. Davka when he's contending with a natural inclination, which is the opposite. Here's another interesting discussion my wife and I have always had over the years. Nothing gets my wife upset. She has such a teva. I never saw such a thing in my life. Nothing gets her upset. Like regular things that people are all worked up, they just like slide off of her. So sometimes, and I would get upset, my wife would say, "What are you getting so upset at?" I said, "Okay." So then my counter argument to that is what? You hear where this is going? My counter argument to that is very pushy. You're telling me that I should take it easy. My teva is I have more of a kanos. My teva is more of a kapdonis. My teva is more to be more makbid on things. By you, things your teva is like your teva is not to be makbid in anything. So what's the grace of chachma that you're not makbid in what just happened? What's the grace of chachma? I always tell this thing. I remember that when we lived in Far Rockaway, so we had a big sliding door and a screen and it broke. It was going out to the sukkah, and it broke. And until I got around to going to a place, you know, to get a new screen, that was a whole thing. I don't take care of things so fast. Until I got the screen, it was the day after the new screen was put in. I come downstairs and I see my usher Zelig with a scissor making pictures in the screen, not pictures of coloring, slicing the screen up and down, making pictures. I was looking at this, and I just called out, like, you know, like an animal, my wife's name, like as if she had some achrayus. I just wanted to see. You have to see what he's doing. She doesn't know what happened. She comes running down the stairs, and I'm standing in the kitchen, and I say, "You see this? You see what's going on over here?" And she starts to laugh. I said, "What are you laughing about?" "I'm laughing because to you," she said, "it's a screen, and to him it's like a coloring, you know, it's a project, it's today's project, it's a coloring board, it's such a nice thing, daddy got me this thing to play with." The thing was like $100 back then. So she says also, "What are you getting so worked up over?" She knows this because it's not the money, because if I can't with the money, I'm not so mocked, but like, what a chutzpah. It's not a chutzpah. He doesn't know that you had this whole thing. You had to go to Brooklyn to get a screen or something. It's not chutzpah. It's just a kid. So I remember that was the whole discussion. So I said, "So you're telling me what's the matter with me? What am I getting all worked up over a little thing like this?" I said, "But that's not fair because your teva is that you don't have to pay this on things." She's never mocked me with anybody. If somebody insulted her or ever said anything, she does nothing like Teflon. Yep. Nothing. He said, "It's a teva that she has like that." So I always say that that's not a midah. That was a midah, exactly what the Rabbi Nelson says. A midah means that's the Baruch Shem's malacha, that he made you into such a person. That's very, very nice. You think that's the nisoyin of a person, like a tzaddik says, is dafki in the opposite of who you are. Those are the nisyonis of life, and those are the midahs that were kinda dafki when you have to fight and overcome that which is the opposite of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you. But how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you, fine, that's good, but you're just going with who you are. But the inyan is to be mezgaber. That's how you acquire. That's what exactly the Baruch Hu is saying. Close to the mind, so call me the time when he cares, davke, k'shi mismay dead, this is my hepech mimena. The Ishbitzer writes a lot about this. It's a very big inyan in the Ishbitzer Svan. L'dal ve'ev yon kal harbe yoysel yos anuv mila Hashem yuchas. A person who's very poor, who's always been poor, and it's much easier for him to be an anav, to be humble. Mila Oshio Miuchas, and a person is a bal yichas, has a big yichas, and he's very rich. And if the poor person is an anav, so like they say, like some sort of a joke, like that, well, what are you being so humble about? You're talking about. So he feels his whole life he's nothing. So what's the big malach that he's humble? But when you have a person who's a kavir, he's a millionaire, and he's a bal shemtiv z'neinik, you understand? and he's an onuf. Reb Leibel Eger was the biggest onuf in the world. You know, Reb Leibel Eger's father was Reb Shlomo Eger, the grandfather of Akiva Eger. That's not so easy to be an onuf like that. But if you're nobody, so what's the mean of what's the onuf? What's the anivus? You're talking nobody. I mean, it doesn't sound nice, but so what are you an onuf about? You could be a bigger onuf, or you could be a bigger lo yitzloch. You could have less money than what you already have. That's anivus. But a person's a gvir and a meyuchas, and he has or he's a big Talmud Chacham, and he had to acquire, he has to work hard, because it's very, very easy to be, from that Oisha, whether it's in learning or it's in money or Yichus, to be led away, to be taken away from Anivus. It's a very, very big struggle. And Afal Pichin, he overcomes that. He overcomes that. When you read Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he was the biggest honor. Reb Moshe Feinstein was the biggest honor in the world. Reb Moshe Feinstein. That's unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu was an honor. Moshe Rabbeinu had what to be proud of. That's called a midah. What your natural inyan is not called a midah. That's the Baruch Shalom, that's a Bria, you're a Nivra. That's not called a Mida. A Mida is, you made a decision, you want to do the right thing, and you work hard to acquire that Mida, to be Mizgabra on your natural inclination, your natural way. Now this is, we're just starting, we have a lot to do over here. This. And then we'll see, we'll compare it with the others, and then we'll talk about the Bitochen, who Yaakov Avinu was, and who Avraham Avinu was, and Yosef HaTzadik, and then each and every one of us, we're down to about ourselves, with our own personal hashtag list and how we live. And Shem will continue with that.